Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there. This episode is sponsored by iTalkie, a super convenient and flexible way to get one-to-one lessons to improve your English as quickly and effectively as possible. Are you looking for a one-to-one teacher? Would you like to take English lessons on Skype whenever and wherever you want?
Of course, Luke.
Well, look no further because iTalkie is the solution for you. That's not how you say solution. iTalkie is the solution for you, not solution. That's not how that word is pronounced.
What are you talking about, Luke? Just get on with it.
Okay. So, remember that iTalkie are offering all of you a free lesson. That's right. For all the information, check out teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalkie logo on my website. All right then, good. So, let's begin the episode now with the jingle. Again, that's not how you say that word. What are you doing? I don't know. Jingle. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing, ladies? How are you doing, gentlemen? How are you doing, pets that may be listening? And any other life form which might be in the vicinity while you're listening to this. Another strange intro, but I'm going to keep going. I've decided I'm going to just keep going as I did in the last one. Hope you enjoyed the last episode with Raf Miller. Anyway, today on the podcast, I have another interview for you to listen to as part of your learning English routine. This time, I'm talking to Jessica Beck, who you might know from the IELTS Energy podcast. I have spoken to Jessica before on this podcast, back in episode number 297, when we talked about using humour in the speaking part of the IELTS test. So IELTS Energy is an appropriate title for that podcast because Jessica has loads of energy, as you will hear. When we recorded this conversation, it was 7 o'clock in the morning for her because of the time difference. Which is pretty early for podcasting, but she was already wide awake and ready to go. Maybe it's that American can-do attitude or the coffee that she's been drinking, I don't know. But her energy is infectious. It's one of the hallmarks of the IELTS Energy podcast, in fact. Energetic sort of motivation and stuff. That's what you get from IELTS Energy and also the All Ears English podcast, which Jessica is also associated with. Just in case you don't know, Jessica Beck is an English teacher who lives in Portland, which is in Oregon, which is in the northwest of the United States of America, which is in North America, which is in America, the continent, which is on Earth. Yes, so you're going to be listening to a combination of Jessica's American English and my British English in this conversation. So Jessica does IELTS Energy, but she's on my podcast today because she's just launched a new website and YouTube channel, which is called Honestly English. This is her new project. And I thought that we could talk a little bit about that and some of the topics that she's been teaching recently in her videos and on her blog. So Honestly English, that's honestlyenglish.com. This is Jessica's own channel. It's her own project and therefore is a space where she can teach English in her own way and cover topics that mean a lot to her personally. And since Jessica is a huge pop culture nerd, a bit like me, a big fan of popular culture, her videos and blog posts all contain loads of references to movies and comic books and things like that. She's also very passionate about feminism and raising the status of women in society today. So these are the things that we're talking about in this episode. The Me Too movement, some language relating to that, then women in popular culture and some superhero characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, specifically Captain Marvel, who will be arriving in cinemas early next year in the Captain Marvel movie, and then I think also in Avengers 4, as well. So that's Captain Marvel. And we also talk about some female comedians from the UK and the USA that we would like to recommend to you. Now, I mentioned the Me Too movement there. I think this is a global phenomenon, but you might call it something else in your country. In France, it was called hashtag balance ton porc, which directly translates as balance your pork or balance your pig, which doesn't really mean anything if you translate the words directly, I think. But the proper translation of that would be something like denounce your pig, or maybe name and shame your abuser. That's how Me Too is known in France. Hashtag balance ton porc, but hashtag me too in the English speaking world. It may have another name in your country. Wikipedia defines hashtag me too like this. So the Me Too movement, or hashtag me too, with many local and international alternatives, is a movement against sexual harassment and sexual assault. Hashtag MeToo spread virally in October 2017 as a hashtag used on social media in an attempt to demonstrate the widespread prevalence of sexual assault and harassment, especially in the workplace. So MeToo is all about encouraging women. I think it's mostly women. Obviously, there are cases in which men are subjected to this kind of thing as well. But I mean, I think this mostly happens to women. So Me Too is all about encouraging women to come forward and share their experiences of harassment of various kinds. Speaking personally, I knew that women often have to put up with dangerous and just plain weird behavior from creepy guys. Like being approached in the street or feeling unsafe in certain places or just putting up with dodgy comments and behaviour at work. I knew that that kind of thing happened, but the Me Too movement did open my eyes to how much of this kind of thing women have to put up with every day. Basically, women have to put up with a lot of shit, basically, all the time. I didn't quite realise how much until Me Too sort of revealed what it was really like. I mean, you know, I guess that's what Me Too was all about. I mean, you know, I think about my daughter and the kind of society that she's going to grow up in. And I want her to grow up in a culture in which she feels safe. She feels she can talk about things that happen to her, in which she won't have to just accept certain behavior from men. And I want her to have cool characters and comedians on TV and in films that she can relate to, just like I did in my childhood. Now, I know this is actually quite a touchy subject. There's lots of pushing and pulling going on in terms of people arguing about the place of men and women in society, and both men and women feeling targeted or victimized or demonized and things like that. I've seen so many arguments in online comment sections, and I find all that kind of stuff a little bit exhausting, to be honest. I mean, I see arguments on YouTube and people getting really angry on both sides about something like a perceived feminist agenda in Star Wars or Doctor Who, for example. And then I see other people getting really angry about those people getting angry about feminism in Star Wars or Doctor Who. And I'm just sitting there trying not to get angry about people getting angry about other people getting angry about some people getting angry about feminism in Star Wars or Doctor Who or movies and culture in general. And I just think, oh, you know, can we just have a normal conversation? I don't know. In any case, let's find out from Jessica about her new website. Let's learn some of the words and phrases that she can tell us about the Me Too movement, as she wrote in one of her blog posts recently. And also, let's talk about Marvel movies and some great comedians that you might like to check out. There are links and videos on the page for this episode, as usual, if you want examples of the comedians that we're talking about. And also there are links for Jessica's website and stuff, so check those out. Okay then, so this is Jessica Beck, energetic at 7 o'clock in the morning, American English and British English combined in one conversation, and here we go.
It's a little bit early, but yeah. You know, I'm woken up, I'm ready to talk.
7 a.m., just gone 7 a.m. for you, isn't it?
Yeah, which is kind of early to get going, but I guess I normally wake up at like 6, you know, busy adults. Mm-hmm. You have to fit stuff in when you can.
You do. And you've got to be dedicated, you know. If you want to sort of be the best, you've got to be dedicated. You've got to get up early. You've got to be, you know, the early bird catches the worm. It's true.
I think you just read like three different inspirational posters.
Yeah. I just have inspirational posters all around me just saying, the early bird catches the worm, which I read sort of with, you know, bleary eyes at 10 a.m. Yeah, totally.
You're like, I'm going to start that tomorrow. I'm inspired for later.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to doing all this stuff later.
Yeah. I'm going to be so productive at another time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the goal.
Now I can be lazy. I can be lazy and feel okay about it because I'm going to be so productive next week.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but it's true though, man. If you're, you know, like, I'm sure you wake up early to get lots of stuff done.
I do,
there's
yes.
a lot to do. You have students, you have podcasts, you got videos. I mean,
yeah.
But it's all, I think it's way easier to wake up early and work on your stuff if you enjoy what you're working on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So where are you actually right now? Are you in Portland?
Yes, Portland, Oregon. Have you ever been to Portland?
I've never been, but I would like to go because I understand it's a very cool place indeed.
It is. It's awesome, man. It's awesome. I mean, I kind of moved like to a little bit on the outside, so I'm sort of farther away from all the cool stuff, like the expensive donuts and the fancy slow coffee and like that kind of stuff. But I'm right next to like miles and miles of nature trails. So that's, you know, that's the other side of cool Portland.
That's great. I live in Paris and there is no nature here at all. Nature's not allowed in.
Do people do everything they can to forget that there is nature?
No, actually they don't. They do the opposite. They desperately try and cram some nature into their lives in some way. Usually that takes the form of a window box full of flowers.
Ah,
which is
yes.
quite nice, actually. But we do have some very lovely parks in Paris. I feel I should sort of sure. at least, I don't want to spread the word that, you know, there's no sort of green spaces. It is a, you know, there are some lovely parks and they're very beautiful historic places as well. So, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, well, that's any, you know, like a vibrant urban center is going to be like that. It's all about the parks.
Yeah.
Portland is it's a weird city. It doesn't fit the same mold as like New York, Paris, LA, like these sorts of places, right? Like yeah. Portland is a completely unique animal as far as cities go.
Why?
And the people here know that.
Why is it different?
I don't know. I don't think it became like a cool city until kind of recently. You know, I don't think Portland identified itself as a city until probably like the late 90s. Before that, it was just kind of like a nobody thought of it as a place to visit. It was just like this industrial port town. And there was like, I don't know, people cut down trees and sold timber. You know, yeah. There was nothing kind of cool about it until, I don't know, the government decided to make it cool in the 90s and attracted like tech people. And then, of course, Nike's on the outside of it and Nike's Nike.
Yeah.
So it didn't really try to be anything on the world stage until sort of recently.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
I don't know. It's awesome.
Good place.
People here are super relaxed.
Yeah.
I think that's the only downside of Portland is there's like a little bit of lack of motivation sometimes.
Really? How come? Why is everyone so relaxed?
That's a really good question. I think it's easy to live here, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to work a lot to have a nice life.
And people, I guess, just enjoy the slower pace of life maybe over there, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, it sounds like a good place to live. Now, you've recently launched a new website, haven't you? And a
yes.
new YouTube channel, because you do the IELTS Energy podcast and all that work. But yes. new website, new YouTube channel. So what's all that about then? Can you tell us?
Yeah, for sure. So it's called Honestly English. And it's kind of nerdy, you guys. So I'm taking two of my life's passions, words and entertainment. And I'm like marrying those in some new lessons for you guys. So, every lesson on YouTube and on my site – on the blog, you get slang and idioms and phrases that we say in English. And I tell you where they come from because I mean, the key to learning vocabulary, it's all about context. So this is putting new context on the slang and the idioms for you guys. Like, you know, why do we say nailed it? Like that was my first video on the channel. So it gives you the history of it and the context, like how I use it, how native speakers use it now. And then I always give you guys a pop culture recommendation. So that's another of my favorite things to nerd out on is like, why do I like this director? What did he do that you don't know about? Oh, there's this really cool comedy podcast you should check out. So, yeah. So that's what it is. It's super fun.
That's good. You mentioned the expression to nail it or like, yeah, nailed it. So
yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, actually, there's a few different meanings of it, of the phrase, some fun and some not fun. But the positive phrase of it, right, that you see in internet memes and stuff is sarcastic. So we say nailed it if you did something perfectly, right, if you did something really well. But then it turned into a sarcastic meme, like somebody just having an epic fail. And then people are sarcastic, like, oh, nailed it.
Yeah.
Like there's that show on Netflix called Nailed It. Do you know what that is?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's hilarious. Do you like cooking shows?
I think I've seen it. I think I have seen it. I watched it for a bit late one night. I've got a very distant memory of watching this show. I'd forgotten that I'd even seen it, but I think I was watching Netflix and it was quite late. So it's just a very embedded memory.
Well, maybe I could pull that out.
Yes.
It's a cooking show, but it's not, you know, like a normal cooking show. It's hosted by a female comedian, Nicole Byer, who is hilarious. And it has three totally amateur chefs. They're not chefs, totally amateur people that try to cook. And they have to like recreate this amazing like cake structure or something. And they can't. They just can't. They're even given like a recipe. They don't even make a cake from scratch. It's from a box. Like it's a mix. Like there's really like no – there's no reason why it
should be difficult. A five-year-old could do it.
Yeah,
you'd imagine.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
And none of them do. But it's not like negative or people making fun of each other. Yeah. It's still really positive and just lots of jokes. Yeah. I don't know. It's funny.
I can imagine it would be really, really funny to watch people fail to cook. I mean, you know, my wife seems to enjoy watching me cook. So, you know, I think it must be quite entertaining.
You're normally failing, or are you?
No, actually,
failing?
As a matter of fact, to go against the cruel stereotype of the English and our food. No, I actually am quite enjoying exploring the whole cooking thing now that I'm in France. You know, because this is the country of the cuisine and everything. So you know, I've got to step up to the plate and learn too. But you know, mostly it's mainly just making food hot.
It's mainly that.
I mean, for example, you know, like the other day I cooked some salmon fillets with roasted vegetables, right? I just had a bunch of vegetables that was like, we need to get rid of these. So I chopped them all up, right? Olive oil in the oven for an hour and then 20 minutes to salmon, right? I didn't even really move it around much, nothing like that, just made it hot and it was delicious. So it's genuinely, folks, I've cracked it. Cooking is just making food hot. Right?
That's an amazing discovery. But that is basically all cooking is. You make it hot in a pan or you make it hot in the oven.
Yeah.
Different approaches to making it hot. And that's kind of those are amazing skills.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So anyway, so the show is called Nailed It, and you watch people sarcastically, you can say, oh, he nailed it, meaning he got it kind of wrong. But also it also is used non-sarcastically to mean, yeah, you did it perfectly. Yeah, nailed it. Like if your student gives you exactly the right answer, you can go, yeah, nailed it, meaning
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, where, totally.
Can you tell
but
us?
But then there's there's other like slang of using nail, right?
Yes.
Like the cops nailed him, right? Which means he got arrested. Do you say that in England too? Is that in British
English? Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The cops nailed him. But also you'd say, oh, he just nailed him, meaning he sort of punched him or something like that. You know, oh, he just nailed him with his, you know, with a baseball bat or a cricket bat.
Totally. Yeah. Like just totally just like hit him super hard, like almost knocked him out.
He hammered him. He nailed him. It's like, which one is it, the hammer or the nail? Surely the hammer. Surely it would be the hammer, no? Or both.
The person is the nail.
I suppose.
And the, who got knocked out.
Nailed him. Nailed him, meaning you turned him into a nail. And then you hit that nail with a hammer.
There you go.
Yeah.
They both work.
I think my listeners are going to remember this one now, right? Yeah, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. Okay, can you give us an idea, maybe some more ideas of the things that you've been doing on the website recently?
Yeah, for sure. So this is my own thing, and I get to do whatever I want with it, which is so exciting. So something that, of course, is really important to me is the current state of the world, the Me Too movement, and what's, you know, the shocking things that have been happening in my own country. Right. So, yeah, my last video last week was about where hashtag Me Too came from. And it's not actually, it didn't start last year. I mean, I thought it did. You know, I think most people do, but it actually started in 2006 by a woman named Tarana Burke. And it wasn't like a hashtag meme sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was a movement, right, to help women who were survivors of sexual abuse. So it started in 2006, and then it didn't become this viral label, which I think is supremely positive to bring this stuff out into the light and start conversations. That didn't actually start till 2017. But yeah, so another thing I want to do, it's not just about what natives say, what, you know, what it's cool slang and idioms and stuff like that, which is also super fun, but I want to use my channel as a place of discussion, right? I mean, these terms, where did they come from? Why do we use them? So in addition to that Me Too video, I also did a blog post about slang for women, like negative slang for women. And it's not that I want people to use these terms because they're horrible, but I think it's important to have a discussion on why the English language has so many terms for shaming women, and yet we don't have the equivalent for men. So there's deeper topics like that that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And primarily because I'm a woman, I'm a mom, and I want to raise my son to be a feminist. So we have lots of conversations about equality and what it means to be a strong woman and a strong man who is respectful. Because you know what? My son is going to be very handsome, and he's going to be huge and strong. And so I need to start training him now. to be a good dude. So we have lots of conversations about that. And that's something that I think it's important for people to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so Me Too, can you tell us a bit about that? For those people listening who are sort of not completely clued up on it, what is Me Too? What is the Me Too movement? And what is hashtag Me Too as well?
Yeah, so hashtag Me Too started in 2017 when there was an actress, Ashley Judd, and she was interviewed by the New York Times accusing this like enormously powerful movie mogul, Harvey Weinstein. And he was head of Miramax, which, you know, I always loved that company because they sort of like mainstreamed indie movies. He's the one that brought, Quentin Tarantino and right, like all these amazing 90s indie people. Like he gave them a voice, which I loved. And so it was really terrible to find out that he is a horrible monster.
Yeah.
So anyways, he, It's hard to talk about without sounding so terrible, right? Okay. Well, so Ashley Judd said that he had sexually harassed a lot of very famous people, including her, and nobody could talk about it before now because he was so powerful, right? Being a powerful man, he thought he could do what he wanted. So the hashtag MeToo movement is just saying, no, women are going to talk about these things. So there's the extremely dark side like that. But in my videos, I talk about – there's also a less invasive side of it, right? Less violent, where it's just sort of everyday harassment. Whereas, like, men feel like they can comment publicly on women's appearance or their behavior, and women don't do that usually. So it's just starting that discussion where women can be honest about their experiences and start to gain power in society.
And it can, I guess, prevent something like, you know, someone like Harvey Weinstein from sort of, you know, being able to do what he's doing. Because I guess previously there was sort of a stigma about talking about it if you've been the victim of some sort of abuse. Yeah. And the fact that there's this movement, it allows women to kind of come out and realize that they're not alone, right? Which can help to prevent that sort of thing happening in the future. Okay, so a monster is someone like Harvey Weinstein, what you would describe as a monster, right? But you mentioned kind of like the everyday forms of sort of abuse that you might get in the workplace or from people in the street or things like that, or just any situation where men feel for some reason that it's appropriate to just judge you openly, especially about your appearance. So what about some of the words then that we use to describe these sorts of situations, which unfortunately are rather common for women?
Sure. Well, I'm interested to know if you also say these in British English. So in American English, right? There's the slang word perv, which is short for pervert. So that's easy to trace back where that comes from.
We say that too. Yes, a perv or a pervert. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty common, calling some dude a perv. If he's like trying to like, you know, the dudes that don't talk to women by looking them in the eye, they talk to women by looking at other places on their bodies. That is not appropriate. So that dude is a perv.
Yeah.
You could also say he's a creep, right? Do you say that?
Well, but it sounds quite American, but you might hear some people saying it, but we would say creepy as well. Creepy obviously is for things like horror movies and stuff like that. But also you can say a creepy guy or a creepy person is like someone who is, a bit of a perv and a bit weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think like creep would have this other connotation, right? Because it does come from like describing something that is scary. So I like keeping that connotation and saying, like the pervy dudes are also scary because, like don't talk to them. Yeah, they're gross.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like being a creep is being sort of a bit menacing, right?
Yeah.
A bit scary. But again, like these – that's part of the movement, the hashtag MeToo movement, is that, you know what, like we shouldn't be scared of this anymore because women are taking back the power. Women are like, no, if this happens, I am going to tell everyone.
Right.
And you will be known as the monster that you are. Yeah. So, it is like hopefully preventing this stuff from happening in the future. I think men are sort of maybe being forced into a more respectful position now because they know that women are not going to be afraid to talk about it.
How are men handling it, do you reckon?
I mostly know dudes that are awesome, that are completely feminist and respectful towards women, and they think it's great. But even them, I find they're surprised to the extent that people can say me too. I think every woman, and I say this in the video lesson, every woman I know has had a me too moment in their lives.
Yeah.
And I think it is surprising to men the extent that the harassment and the abuse and the violence has existed in society.
Yeah.
It is surprising, right? I don't know if you remember when hashtag Me Too happened last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But everybody I knew was saying Me Too on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Wow. Wow, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Big, it's a serious thing, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, how, like, dudes that you know, are they surprised by this? Are they, like, happy about it?
No, absolutely. Everyone is completely... completely shocked by it, and you know, it's an incredibly serious thing, and you know, like a lot of guys, just we sort of look at other guys, we kind of think, you know, who are these other guys that are doing this kind of thing, you know, because you just sort of it's like, I guess certain men are just, you know, pervs, and I you know, it's probably not obvious which ones are the pervs and which ones aren't.
Sure.
So yeah, it's shameful, and it's extremely serious. And of course, it's a good thing that people now feel like they've got a voice and they can call these sorts of things out, because you know, it's no good. This sort of thing can't be tolerated.
Yeah, of course. So to try and make all of this as positive as we can, right?
Yeah.
Because we're growing, we're getting better.
Yeah.
Also, in the lesson for that, I recommend some comic books that I really like, which, guys, okay, don't turn away from these comics, because the first one is somebody that everybody should know about, Captain Marvel.
Right.
And why should everybody know about her? Because there's a Captain Marvel movie coming out in 2019.
Yeah.
And also at the... This is kind of a spoiler. Have you seen Infinity War? Are you into superheroes?
Yeah, I'm completely into it. Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen Infinity War. I've you know, read all about it. I've watched all the scenes again. And yeah, I'm completely into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's got better and better over the last couple of years. It's suddenly gone bam. It got really good. Like after Civil War and then Thor Ragnarok. And then Infinity War, and the Spider-Man movie, and to an extent Ant-Man. All of those films are just really good. And so, yeah,
I
can't wait to see what happens in Avengers 4. I just can't wait.
Yeah. But so when you were watching Infinity War,
yes.
And of course, all Marvel fans know that you have to stay after the credits, right?
Yep.
Because there's that like teaser thing at the end. Did you know what that signal was?
Yeah.
Like on his little beeper? Did you know what the band and the star was?
Yeah, I did, because, you know, that's the extent to which I'm a geek for this stuff. But I've never actually read the comic books for this character, Captain Marvel. So So she's new to me. And I'm one of these sort of people who's mainly into the films, because the only times I got the Marvel comics, the actual comic books, was when I went to the States on holiday a couple of times, and we found comic book stores, and kind of I was getting all these old copies of Spider-Man and stuff. And so I just had these sort of like individual copies from series. So I never got many of the stuff in the comics. I don't really know much about Captain Marvel.
Okay, Captain Marvel is the most powerful superhero in the Marvel universe right now, like as it stands right now, right? Like that's why the Avengers have to call her in to help out, because she's like the most incredible superhero, and she's a woman, obviously. We're saying she. But one of the things that I love about the female superheroes right now, and I talk about and I make some other recommendations, but the female superheroes now are not, I don't know, I think like before the 90s and before, a female superhero was a superhero because she was as powerful as a man, or she could, right? Like she could be compared to like a male superhero in some respects. But Captain Marvel isn't a superhero because she's like a man. She is using her powers as a woman as well, and that is part of what makes her so powerful, right? Like using sort of intuition and not hiding emotions, not being like, no, I can be strong because I could not have emotions and not be a woman. Like, that's not it. Mm. That's part of her power, right? She doesn't hide the fact that she's a woman. And yeah. I love that. She could be vulnerable. She could, like, be honest about what she's thinking and feeling, and that helps her be even stronger. Yeah, so this is one reason why I love Captain Marvel. I love her so much that I have a tattoo.
Do you?
I have lots of comic book tattoos, but on my right hand, I have the Captain Marvel band tattooed across three knuckles.
Wow, you must be so excited about this film coming out.
I totally am. I'm stoked. But the author of the new Captain Marvel series, she's actually based in Portland.
Ah.
So, which is also super cool. Okay, yeah. Okay,
brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. We were going to talk about some of our favorite female comedians as well.
Yes.
Right? Now, you know, I like to recommend comedy to my listeners. It's difficult to understand comedy in a second language, of course.
Yeah.
But I always like to try and recommend comedy to my listeners. So, I mean, you know, so many female comics on both sides of the Atlantic. I've chosen one American comedian, and all the others that I've got here are from the UK. So can you tell us about your favorite female comics in the States at the moment?
Sure. Yeah. I think as far as stand-up goes, I would say I really like Kathleen Madigan. And I get to see her in a couple weeks, actually. Yeah. She's coming through Portland. So stand-up Kathleen Madigan. She's a little fire plug, man. She's hilarious. Like, just very deadpan. Yeah. She's been on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee as well, you want to check that episode out, guys. So stand-up, yeah, definitely recommend her. Watch some clips on YouTube. But as far as just the broader scheme of being a comedian, being in movies, doing sketch and improv, Kristen Wiig, right? Yeah. Like, she started on SNL on Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. and oh my God, just so many classic characters there. But then, guys, if you have not seen the movie Bridesmaids, that was really her sort of breakout hit as being a star and being super funny. Mm. Bridesmaids, do you remember watching that?
Yeah, I remember watching that. Very funny. There's a particularly memorable scene in a bathroom.
Oh, I was thinking about the scene in the street when they're all treating the street as a bathroom, one could say.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it does remind me of just going to weddings as well, and like going to people's weddings, and you get this sense that there's tension going on between some of the female friends or between like different people at the wedding. And there's some very funny scenes in that. Remember when she's it's like her friend is getting married, but her friend's got another friend, and they're sort of like competing about, or one of them is being extremely possessive and competitive about being the bridesmaid and all that sort of thing. Yeah, yeah, very funny.
Yeah, well, one of them is, you know, like super together and looks like, you know, has the perfect successful woman life. And then there's the other friend, Kristen Wiig. She's still figuring stuff out, right? Yeah. Like, she's still trying to figure out where she is in life and what she's going to do, which is another completely valid phase to be in. And so there's this competition between her, right? The not together person and the together person. But then that's also I think that's the first time that Melissa McCarthy was noticed. Yeah. And she's another amazing female comedian who I love exploring her stuff because she's very empowering, because she's not what you think of as being like a skinny, beautiful person. And she doesn't have to be. Like, she's very comfortable with who she is as a plus-sized woman, we could say.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have to like use that as her comedy, which I think some people do. Mm. She's that's part of, you know, what she can make fun of about being herself and being honest with the world.
Yeah.
But she's also just so intelligent and funny. She was in another movie that your listeners might have missed. It's sort of an indie movie with Bill Murray, who, come on, god of comedy.
Yeah.
Called St. Vincent. It's like this little indie movie. Anyways, everybody should check it out. It's amazing, for sure.
I've written those names down so my listeners can see them on the page for this episode. My thoughts were, well, I've got Maria Bamford, as we said before in our emails. Maria Bamford is an American stand-up comedian who is just incredible. I've never seen her live, but I've seen her videos and listened to some of her albums and things. And she's amazing because she does all these different voices. She can kind of like her normal voice is very sort of vulnerable and like in her real life. And she talks about her life a lot. She suffers from mental health issues, and she manages to kind of explain the experience of this. You know, woman who's suffering from these mental health issues, but she does it by doing all the voices of the people around her in her life. So there's the voice of her mother, the voice of her sister, the voices of other people that she meets in her life. And all of these other people have got these incredibly smooth and self-confident and even patronizing voices. You know, there's always like this other female character who's like, you know, totally got everything together. And then, you know, so she has these conversations with herself. And it's just incredibly inventive and you know, just so funny and so bold as well, so kind of strong to be able to be so vulnerable and yet you know, to expose yourself like that. It's just, you know, amazing. But talent, very talented.
I like to do different voices in my act because my own voice does not command the respect and the attention that I believe I deserve. I go into some fancy shop and say, "Hi, can I get some help?" They'd be like, "No, little girl, we're not serving little girls today." But you know, if I went in there and was like,
"Hi, what's your name? Cindy? Cindy, I need to speak with your manager. Thanks a lot, sweetheart."
That voice she does of the woman that's so together, like it's so amazing that she could like pretend to be a together person.
Yeah.
At the same time, she's telling you, "I am not together at all." You feel like it's in there.
Yeah.
Somewhere, right? Like she could grasp it. Like she knows it's possible, but she could still tell you, like, "Look, I'm completely not this person," and making fun of people that have it together. Like,
right. But also the voices of those women who have everything together, they've got like an edge of cruelty to them or something.
Totally.
They're just mean and they're not nice people and they're judgmental. And so it's an incredible way to kind of portray her life, that she's sort of at the mercy of these slightly mean yet totally confident and organized other women. And it sort of, you know, captures, I guess, to an extent what it must be like to be, you know, to have the issues, mental health problems, you know, that you're sort of at the mercy of people who've got it together in some way and they all judge you for it. You know, that like, these other characters are constantly patronizing her because they think that she's got some problems, that she's kind of stupid or sort of a lower status person. It's very interesting.
Well, she did a show on Netflix as well that's based on her life. Did you see that?
Was that the one where she did it at home with her parents?
Was no, that's another show. That was like, that was a web series. Oh man, that was so funny. She just did stand up at home with her parents sitting on the couch. Oh, that was great.
Her parents
were
the audience.
Her web series. Oh man, I need to get the name of it. You need to find the name of it to put it in the blog post.
Okay.
No, it was on Netflix. Yeah, like last year before, and it's fictionalized, but it's like more or less based on her life.
Okay. Right, I'll check that out.
She's amazing. Okay. There's also a really good episode she did on WTF years ago, Mark Maron's podcast, when he still only interviewed comics. She, like, they're really good friends because they're both very vulnerable in their comedy about different issues that they faced. Mm. And it's like just a recording of a car trip they took. And like they're both just being completely honest and hilarious and just like in the car.
Okay.
It's super authentic.
I'm writing that in here as well. I'm writing that here in the notes here. WTF with Mark Maron. I've got other British comedians that I could mention, but you know, you probably won't know them, I expect. I mean, do you know French and Saunders? Have you ever heard of
French and Saunders?
Okay.
Wait, are they the fab ladies?
Yeah, absolutely fabulous. Yeah,
of course.
Well,
I used to watch that in high school. I'd come home and on Comedy Central, there would be Ab Fab and then Monty Python reruns. So I Fantastic. Would watch those like every day.
Ab Fab was actually Jennifer Saunders. So it was really only one half. Okay. It was one half of the duo. But French and Saunders, yeah, they were like these women comedians who were on TV for like, you know, decades in the UK as with their own show, which is like a sketch show. But then also Absolutely Fabulous was a big hit as well. But French and Saunders, just all throughout my childhood, I grew up watching French and Saunders just being very stupid and sort of fun, you know, just making fun of everything, making fun of typical sort of English women and making fun of films and TV culture and just bickering. It's like they spent 30 years on TV just bickering with each other, and it was hilarious.
That's so awesome. Yeah, so that same sketch show was on for decades?
Yeah, it wasn't just so much a sketch show. It's like the BBC just said to them, okay, you've got half an hour, just do whatever you want. And the BBC did used to do that, which was absolutely brilliant. I guess they still do it, but they used to do that. It's to just find a comedian or a pair of comedians that or group that they trusted, and they would say, okay, you've got half an hour, just go for it. That's awesome. That's sort of how Monty Python happened as well. Yeah.
Well, that was a group of dudes you could trust to just run with it. Yeah. I mean, come on, the directions.
I can't wait
till my son is old enough to start watching those movies.
Yeah.
Oh, so excited.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail is just absolutely brilliant.
Classic, man.
There's others as well, like someone like Victoria Wood, who I'm sure you haven't heard of.
No.
She was a national treasure, this woman. She was a bit like a housewife who was also a comedian, but not like Roseanne Barr, because that's something else. Victoria Wood was like
let's not recommend her.
No, nothing like that. I know that Roseanne Barr kind of carved out a career for herself as a comedian who was basically a housewife on stage, right? But anyway.
She also turned real, real dark lately.
Yeah.
So
there was that tweet that she put out, and it sort of torched her entire career, sort of. Anyway,
moving on. Keep it positive.
Yeah, keep it light. Victoria Wood. So she was like a sort of middle class, normal English woman, a bit like the sort of one of your friend's mums, sort of thing.
Oh.
Like that. So she's like your friend's mum, but she also would go up on stage and do comedy. And she did stand-up, she did sketches, and she played the piano and did funny comedy songs about, like, you know, parents having sex and things like that. And it was never too rude. It was never too rude. It was like, you know, that sort of thing. It was Saturday evening entertainment, but it was kind of like a little bit risque, you know. So, but she was a national treasure, and she just was brilliant. And she died in 2016, along with loads of other celebrities, of course, who died that year.
Yeah. Would you say that her comedy would be family friendly to the extent that maybe there would be a couple jokes that parents would get and kids wouldn't, and they'd be like, but then most of it was like completely fine for kids?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
It was so like hard to find
the sort of comedy that was, I mean, it's old stuff from the 90s and the 80s, and, you know, I don't know how it would hold up now. Although, you know, if you see it with the right sort of, from the right point of view, you know, of seeing it as like this nice little bit of vintage English comedy, then it's charming and it's great. But she was just, you know, this female comedian who was on our television sets for years and a national treasure. I genuinely think like a lot of the female comedians that I know personally from the UK, they saw Victoria Wood as being someone who they really looked up to and who they thought, if she can do it, I can do it too. And, you know, a lot of funny English comedians you know, took inspiration from Victoria Wood. So she was an important person in comedy.
Well, I would imagine at the time that she was a success that she did have to overcome a lot of challenges and biases and assumptions, right? Like, you're a woman comedian. That's not funny. What are you going to do? Like, meh, right? And so that attitude must have existed at that time. And yet she's still became enormously successful and a household name. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm actually interested to know her story. Like, I want to read her memoir.
Victoria Wood. You'll see that she's lovely. I've got others as well. I mean, okay, my last one will be Sarah Pascoe. And she's an English stand-up comedian who's sort of doing very well at the moment. And she basically just describes I guess, the kind of life that most women in the UK experience in a very relatable way. And there are jokes in there, but they're not obvious. You know, they're weaved into stories. And she's sort of relatable and anecdotal. And it's sort of observational comedy about relationships and life. And, you know, yeah, a lot of the stuff that she's doing is very much sort of, yeah, revealing what it's really like for girls these days. And it's very good. She's very funny. I met her as a comedian once.
Really?
Yeah, I was the cool. I emceed a show that she headlined, which was
whoa,
good.
Whoa, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, she. I mean, I used to do stand up in London back in the time when I was living there, and that was like over 6 years ago. So she was just kind of coming up at that time.
Oh, cool.
We got her into headline our show, and I was the MC, and I got to introduce her and then watch her do her set in quite a small room, and she was already really funny. It was brilliant.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have a couple other recommendations that are like linked to podcasts, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
Because guys, I mean, I know that people are listening because they obviously want to improve their English for some reason in podcasts. That's why they're listening to you. But podcasts made for native speakers, that's the next level, right? Mm. Like we should try to include a lot of those to like challenge ourselves. So one of my favorite podcasts is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Mm. And this is – it's on NPR, but it's a weekly podcast with a panel of three comedians that make fun of the week's news. And I know on British TV, and there's a lot of shows that also do this in England, more than here actually on TV. But anyway, this podcast is awesome. The best, like the all-star guest, her name is Paula Poundstone, and she's been a working stand-up for years and years and years. And she is the quickest person. I mean, it's amazing, guys. Every time she's on, those are my favorite episodes. So check out her stand-up, but also check out that podcast.
Yeah.
And then the last one, this is an improv show. It's called Spontanea Nation, which is tough to spell, but
yeah,
we can sort that out later. Spontanea Nation. Okay. It's hosted by Paul F. Tompkins. He's also like super famous in the sketch and improv world, but I love this show because it's hilarious, but it's also, he's very conscious about including a diverse improv crew. Like he wants everybody to have a voice on his show, and it's just the better for that. So the best guest that he has, her name is Tawny Newsome, and she's, I don't think she does stand up, but she's pretty well known in like the improv world. She's on a lot of comedy podcasts. And again, just so quick, improv is amazing. How can people invent and do voices and keep track of the accents and the stories and be that funny at the same time?
Yeah. Like,
it's amazing. Tawny Newsome. She's incredible.
Okay. Brilliant. Right then. So Jessica, how can people find all of the stuff you've been doing then? What about the website, the YouTube channel? How can people find your stuff?
Yes, awesome. So three different places, you guys. On YouTube, Honestly English is the name of the channel. And I have a new video up every Thursday. So it's all just about slang, idioms, vocabulary, and pop culture. Mm-hmm. And I'm having so much fun. And I hope you guys check that out. And then the website has even more lessons about vocab and pop culture. Go to honestlyenglish.com. So you can go to the blog there, guys, because I also do blog posts every week with more vocab and stuff. And we also have options for learning more English if you want lessons with transcripts and stuff like that. So there's a lot of ways to keep learning there. Find me on Facebook, the page. It's the same name, you guys. It's easy to remember. Honestly, English. And I'm also doing like just random Facebook Live posts on there as I think of stuff like, over the weekend, my son and I had kind of a movie marathon with the Mission Impossibles because he's a little boy and action movies are super awesome. And that's an amazing series.
Yeah.
All the different directors. So anyways, I did like just a quick Facebook Live check-in about your mission, should you choose to accept it. It's one of those movie quotes that is that we say. It just comes up in conversation.
Yeah.
So yeah, so check out those three platforms because there's like different lessons on each one of them and they're all super fun.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for talking to me. You can go back to bed now if you need to.
Oh, that's impossible.
No, yeah.
Sleep. Who needs sleep?
yeah. Who needs sleep? Okay, well, thanks again for talking to me and well, best of luck with everything and, you know, speak to you soon maybe.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Luke. It was super fun.
So there you go, folks. That was Jessica Beck and me in conversation there, obviously. Do check out the website. That's where I've put links and stuff and also videos of lots of those comedians. And you really should check those people out. Obviously, it's difficult to understand comedy in a second language, as has been said on this podcast so many times. But still, you might like it. You might discover that, for example, Maria Bamford is amazing and you might suddenly get into all of her stuff. I mean, you know, just explore, have a look, check it out, see what kind of things you like. You might suddenly discover someone that, I mean, so, you know, for example, Maria Bamford, again, just mentioning that name. I mean, I find her stuff to be so extraordinary and so original. It's the kind of thing that you kind of, you immediately fall in love with it and you want to watch all of it. And then before you know it, you've kind of consumed so much of her comedy. And if you're learning English and that happened to you, it would mean that suddenly there's all this available English that you can listen to and so on. I mean, you know, maybe Maria Bamford might not be your cup of tea. I don't know, but have a look anyway and see what you think. And, you know, French and Saunders, as I mentioned, they're just hilarious. You should see some of the stupid parodies of Hollywood films that they've done. I linked on the page, in fact, I put a video on the page of them making fun of the Mamma Mia movie. You know that movie? It's the movie with the ABBA songs in the soundtrack, and it's got Meryl Streep and Pierce Brosnan singing. And other Colin Firth and people like that in it, and they made a sequel of the film recently. I mean, wow, just sort of extraordinary films, extraordinarily sort of terrible and yet compellingly entertaining at the same time. But you've got to see, if you know Mamma Mia, the film, you've got to see French and Saunders making fun of it. It's extremely amusing. So do check out those videos. So there you go. How are you then? So how are you? How are you doing? How's everything going with you? I'm doing okay, thanks. I'm feeling a little bit rough this morning. Rough. That means when you're feeling a bit tired. I feel good, but I'm just a bit kind of worn down. Quite a long day yesterday. I won't go into all the details of what happened during the day, but it was kind of a long day where there was a funeral involved, a member of the family. And that was emotional. But in the evening I did have comedy, which had been booked for ages. And so I went out, I did my comedy, which was actually great fun. I mean, I wasn't feeling particularly amusing, on my way down to the show, but comedy's fantastic. It's just wonderful. I love doing comedy and thankfully the room where I performed, it was completely full. A packed room and a fantastic audience. They were really up for a good time, really responsive. It was a mix of French people and international people. There was a large group of Americans in there for some reason. I always find that funny when you have tourists who come to Paris and they're just there for the weekend or something, or just there for a few days, and they choose to come down to see our show. And it's like, wow, you know, compared to all the other things that you could have done, all the touristy things, you come to our show. Good choice. I think it's a good choice because you get to listen to comedians, a mix of sort of French comedians doing it in English and foreign comedians from like the UK or America or Australia or wherever, and often talking about their experiences of living in Paris. And so it's kind of could be quite a good way to see what it's really like and have a really cool experience. Anyway, we did have a group of Americans in, and they were great. They were laughing and sort of responding in the audience, which is always good because you need that. You need the right mix. I do anyway, because I'm not doing my stuff in French. It's all in English. So you need a certain percentage of the audience to be able to get exactly what you're saying and to be able to laugh at the jokes. And then the other people in the audience who maybe their English isn't quite as strong, they can relax a bit because, you know, they can just enjoy, I don't know, when some of the audience are laughing, it kind of means that the rest of the audience is able to laugh too. That sounds strange, but you just kind of get a certain ratio. I don't know what it is, but as long as you get something like 40% of the audience, then you'll get 80%. Does that make sense? If you get 40%, then you'll kind of win the others over too. It's complicated doing comedy. Anyway, it was good. And I mean, there is nothing like it, really, going up on stage and getting laughs from what you're doing. And so that was a lot of fun and kind of made up for the rest of the day. Anyway, I don't want to overshare or anything, but just sort of telling the story of what's going on over here at the moment. So there you go. I'm going to do a ramble, I think, soon. Not now, because this is the end of an episode, but I will maybe in the next episode. I don't want to make any promises because, you know what it's like with the podcast. Sometimes I'll promise, hey, I'm definitely going to do this, and then just life gets in the way and I don't get round to doing it. But I think I'll probably be rambling about various things. Got just little bits of news and some little stories and other things to mention. So I will ramble on probably in the next episode. So that means that I don't need to ramble on now, and I can kind of shut up and make sure the episode doesn't go too long, because I know some people out there are like, my journey to work is 40 minutes long, so I demand that the podcast should be 40 minutes exactly to match my morning commute, which is a fairly common request. Anyway, stop talking, Luke. They need to go to work. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening. You know what to do. Get the Luke's English Podcast app to get all that extra bonus content, which is free in the app. And also sign up to Luke's English Podcast Premium to get regular episodes where I go all into the language and use my particular set of skills that I have as an English teacher to help you with grammar and vocabulary and pronunciation and all that. And by becoming a premium subscriber, you can also support the podcast by basically paying for something like a cup of coffee or a pint of beer for me every week, or a sandwich or something like that. It's roughly equivalent to that much money every month. So you can kind of become a patron of Luke's English Podcast and get access to all that premium stuff as well, which is cool. teacherluke.co.uk/premium is how you get started. All the information is there. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you also to Jessica Beck for being on the podcast today. And I will speak to you again on Luke's English Podcast very soon. But for now, goodbye. Bye. 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 Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.